So we're going to get started then on item 10.5. Not Dan, I'm sorry.
Yep.
For your information, item O has been crossed off of our agenda. We have another day.
Okay.
We have more information from the IG. So we'll start with item P. It's our last item on the agenda. And we have with us today Presiding Judge David Warner, Superior Court of California, County of San Joaquin. Welcome.
Thank you.
We have Ms. Rosa Cuero, Executive Officer, County of San Joaquin.
Good morning.
I don't think you're on.
I'm sorry. I've had my on the cough. I'm sorry.
We all do that.
Presiding Judge David Warner, Superior Court of California, County of San Joaquin. Rosa Junquero, Executive Officer, Superior Court of California, County of San Joaquin. Mr. Alan Carlson, Executive Officer, Superior Court of California, County of Orange, Judicial Council Member. Ms. Kim Turner, Executive Officer, Superior Court of California, County of Marin, Judicial Council Member, and Mr. David Yamasaki, Executive Officer, Superior Court of California, County of Santa Clara, Judicial Council Member, as well as Jody Patel, Interim AD.
Okay. Thank you, Chief, Council Members. We appreciate the opportunity to present to you the San Joaquin County Superior Court Assistance Review Team. We call that CART for short, and our report of recommendations for you today. As you recall, the CART was implemented in response to a request from the Judicial Council at your meeting, December of 2011, that the AOC Regional Office assist San Joaquin Superior Court in determining whether there were additional cost savings measures and ways to increase revenue for the court following the council's approval for emergency funding and a loan to the San Joaquin Superior Court. For this effort, we sought out 5 court executive officers with expertise in specific subject areas, as well as experience in similar case management systems, to request their assistance in visiting and meeting with the court to identify if they had suggestions or recommendations based on their experiences in their respective court. And I want to express my heartfelt gratitude to the 5 executive officers. We have 3 of them here: Alan Carlson, Kim Turner, David Yamasaki, Kitty Torrey, from Court Executive Officer of Contra Costa County, as well as Mike Planet, Court Executive Officer of Ventura Court. For their willingness and participation in volunteering their valuable time, their expertise, as well as their subject matter expert staff in assisting us and assisting San Joaquin. Each of the court execs took time out of their busy schedule, along with their staff, visited San Joaquin Court, worked with Rosa, Judge Warner, Rosa's staff. It was a great partnership, very good collaboration. I also want to take this opportunity to thank Judge Warner, as well as Rosa Junquero, for their warm welcome and willingness to meet with and provide information to the various CART members that were coming and going out from your organization, at the same time that you, like all of the other courts, were looking at your own budget reductions and implementing those. It's obviously a challenging time for all of the trial courts, and we commend you, Rosa, and your team for working with the multiple CART members to achieve all of the recommendations that are before the council here today. I also want to thank some key staff at the AOC who were extremely instrumental in working with our court executive officers, as well as Rosa and her team, Pam Reynolds and Maureen Dumas from the Northern Central Regional Office, were very, very instrumental in pulling together all of the different information that each court executive and their team were able to gather from San Joaquin Superior Court, as well as Kurt Soderlund, Zlatko Theodorovich, and John Judnick for lending their subject matter expertise as different issues and questions were coming up. to provide a little bit of background for the council on how this effort was conducted, the CART project began with the creation of a business plan that we worked on together with the five court executive officers as well as ROSA. That established the goals and objectives and the ground rules for this effort. We kicked off this effort in February of this year, so it's only been 4 short months. But we wanted to come back to the council in a timely manner with some recommendations. And a lot of coordination needed to take place with ROSA and her team. The CARP members visited San Joaquin in the months of February, March, and April. They met with judicial officers, court management, court staff, to interview, observe, and discuss San Joaquin's existing operations and administrative functions. And Attachment F, which is part of your council report, provides detail on the dates of the visits and all of the individuals that were in attendance for the various meetings. Based on the meetings, the CARP members and their teams each proposed individual recommendations, which were compiled by the AOC staff for the CARP members to review. Once the CART team, as well as my staff, met and reviewed all of the recommendations, we decided on which recommendations to move forward with, and those are included in your packet of information today. I should say that we broke out for each court executive officer's different subject areas. As an example, Alan Carlson and his team led the probate and juvenile team, so they looked at the probate juvenile areas in the court. Mike Planet from Ventura, who also has CCMS V3 implemented in his court, as does San Joaquin Court, led the civil and V3 team. Kitty Torrey led the finance and administrative team. Kitty has a very strong administrative fiscal background, and so she was instrumental with that area. Kim Turner led our criminal and family law team, and in Kim's court, Marin Superior Court, she has the same criminal system that ROSA has in San Joaquin, so that was a great fit. And David Yamasaki led our revenue civil assessment team. He's done a fabulous job in Santa Clara Court with regard to generating additional revenue and taking a look at that, and he's been instrumental in that area. So I want to turn it over to David, Kim, and Alan, and they can share a little bit about the specific recommendations and some of the discussions that we've had. But before I turn it over to you, David, I just want the council to know we do have some folks on the phone. We have Maureen Dumas and Pam Reynolds from the Northern Central Regional Office who are on the phone, and I believe Kitty Torrey was also going to join us by phone. I'm not sure if she's – Kitty, are you there? Okay. Maybe not. Okay. But we do have the NCRO staff. David.
Thank you, Jody, Chief, members of the council. For this segment, I wanted to speak briefly about the recommendations and the responses that we received from the San Joaquin Court. But before I do that, I wanted to give you a little background on the team that was involved with reviewing the processes that were in place at the court. And, you know, in the materials that you have there, you see four members of the court, five members of the courts, as well as the AOC staff. But what is not listed is approximately 25 individuals, 25 subject matter experts that we asked to join us in this endeavor. And they have decades of experience, not only evaluating different programs that the courts have, but also implementing and managing the processes to make sure that they operate very effectively. And without their assistance, we obviously could not have come up with the recommendations. So we're very grateful for all of the people that participated in this process. So as you also can see in the recommendations, there are 74 recommendations that we reviewed collectively. Some of them were honed further based on the input that we received from each other. And quite frankly, many of us learned some new approaches to the way we were doing business. So we came away from this process even more informed in the way we do business. Of the 74, I think there were 69% or 51 of the recommendations that were adopted outright by the San Joaquin Court. In addition to that, there were 21 recommendations, or 28%, that the court had already concluded they were going to proceed with the recommendations. There were two recommendations that were identified in the report that were not supported, and I'll identify them as one involving a process for compiling minutes, and the other one involves the actual closure of two facilities to consolidate activities. They, I believe, provided some additional background information of the challenges of proceeding with those particular recommendations. But I will tell you that during the process of our review, both the leadership of San Joaquin as well as the staff that our teams interacted with were met very positively by the team at that court. One of the things that we came away with was that all of the individuals that we interacted with were very, very hardworking, very conscientious, and were trying to do the best that they can amidst the challenges that that they face, and we all face fiscally. So we're very, very pleased to receive that type of reception and support, and we on many occasions had to circle back with the folks there to clarify certain issues, and every time they were very, very positive in that regard, and that is what allowed us to come to the conclusions in the relatively short amount of time that we had to evaluate.
And I wanted to just add that this process was very fast. It was very fluid. It was very energized. We should rename CART Yes We Can, because I tell you, this group just, that we seized the day. It was a carpe diem moment, certainly for the court executive officers, their teams, and Rosa and her court, to try to turn around a process that really legitimately should take months and months and months to do, and to do in a comprehensive way, and so forth. So I want to, first of all, just thank Rosa and Judge Warner. And Rosa, your team was just phenomenal, turning around information quickly for us, welcoming us, always making the right resources available at those meetings. We so appreciated just your very welcoming attitude to this process. But I also want to go back to something that David said, because I think it really, and I want this to really resonate with the council. When the five court execs and their teams got together to talk about the recommendations, one of the things that he said, which is so true, is we all learned something. I mean, we're all doing many, many things, and we think we're doing all that we can do, yet every one of us walked away from that meeting with new ideas, new strategies, different approaches. And so the value of doing this kind of an analysis does not just inure to the benefit of the recipient court, but it inures to the benefit, really, of all of the participants in the process. And for that reason, one of the things that we are hopeful will come out of this process, you know, Rosa and I talked about, you know, how this is sort of like peer review. It's an iterative process that can actually develop and sort of germinate new ideas that can be used and shared by all courts. And so one of the things that we're looking to do is to try to develop sort of a repository of the generic and the proprietary ideas that came out of this process. So, for example, if we talked about best IT practices, things that should happen regardless of your court size, regardless of where you are in the system, you know, how you should actually maintain disaster recovery protocols and where your server should be located, that kind of thing is sort of a generic best practice that we would like to make sure goes on the list. Court reporter practices, you know, how to effectively manage transcript costs and that kind of thing is another thing that ought to be on a list that would be generic, you know, could be used by any court, large, small, or in between. And so the idea would be to develop sort of a punch list of things that any court that's facing financial difficulties, and I would say that would be 58 courts right now, should make use of this list and should make use of this repository to ensure that before you say, you know, we've done everything we can do, here are some things that you ought to be on that list of ideas that you at least run through and say, yes, we're doing it already, or we have a constraint that we can't implement right now, but we're looking at it, or whatever it may be. So that's a really important, I think, takeaway from this process. Every one of us, every court in this room has an idea about what they're doing well and what they could use a little help with. And I think what we learned is even the things that, you know, I brought my subject matter experts in criminal and family law, we walked away with criminal and family law ideas from this roundtable discussion. So it's just a great opportunity for all of us.
After we got together, the group, to comment on it, we realized there were some common themes, in a sense, that we want to share with the council, because there's no question that at some point in the next year, other courts are going to be coming to the council and asking for funding, having been or gotten themselves into the same position that that San Joaquin is. And we wanted to talk a little bit about some of our shared observations on that. For me, this is the fourth recession since I started working in courts, but this one was different. And it kind of snuck up on us how long it was and how bad it was in one sense. So I think some of the reactions we all had to the at first were, well, let's do some things like furloughs or one-time kinds of reductions and hope we can get past to where the money comes back again. And then after a couple of years, you realize, oops, that's not going to work. Because you can't do enough of those to match the depth. So then you start looking at the other things, the business process reengineering, reorganizing, stopping doing things you don't have to do, and those sorts of efforts. And I think what Kim was talking a little bit about is we can get together a list from all the courts that have done things, using the one from here to begin with, to say, have you looked at this? Have you tried this? Have you thought about doing this? Because there are a lot of things you can do even without doing the one-time things, without having to do furloughs on an extended basis, without having to lay people off. If you can rejigger your system and remanage things and re-engineer things, you can get the same amount of work done with fewer people. And we need to help each other accomplish that. So I think that's an important thing that you're going to be faced with when people come here. I think the other thing, though, is you have to understand that the human side of things, we've reached the point clearly in our cuts where we have to do things we don't want to do. And we have to do things we never thought we'd have to do. The sacred cow concept is very much present in the discussions. And when you sit, and not all of you have, a lot of you have if you're a PJ or an exec, looking around the table with your managers and your PJs or your executive committee saying, well, this is one way we can do this, and people at the table are going, that's not even conceivable, and you say, well, actually it's more than conceivable, it's more a question of when we do this. So there's a lot of resistance naturally, I think, to that, and it takes a little while to get over the fact that it isn't our father's or mother's court anymore. It's a whole new deal on doing things. And the other piece is it takes a different mentality to change something than it does to keep it moving. And it takes a little while to shift gears for a lot of folks to get from, well, this works before, why can't we keep doing that, to, no, we have to completely relook at how we're doing this. So I think we as a council, when people come and ask for money, need to look at what they've actually done and what they could do, but also understand they're going to come here, in a sense, grumpy or not happy that they're in this kind of position. But still, we kind of, I think, need to be tough love in the sense of saying, yeah, we're all in this position. We maybe started in different places, but we still need to look at everything we can possibly do and minimize the amount of money we're going to need from somewhere else. And we do have ways that we can help them. It really was a powerful thing for five other courts to sit and look at a sixth court and share how you do things. And my ops manager is writing down, I think she had six major things that she took away from that meeting that we're going to go back and check and see if we're doing that. And we're pretty far along. We're doing pretty well. And still there are some things we hadn't thought of that we're going to go try and check out. So I think there's a lot of valuable lessons here. This was kind of a warm-up. I'm sorry, you have to be like San Luis and be the one that's the guinea pig. But I think there are a lot of valuable lessons we learned here.
Can I just add a couple of things, Jody? So as the council may recall, several months ago we brought to you the trial court business process reengineering idea initiative, and this council did authorize us to move forward on that. So I wanted to let you know, give you a little progress update on that. It's been a little slow to get it off the ground. There have been many, many competing demands on time of AOC staff and certainly all of us in the last few months. But we do now have a committee that has been constituted. I'm chairing the CEO side of it. It's a joint committee with the PJs. Judge Boris from Orange is chairing the PJ part of it, so we are co-chairs. And in the next week, he and I are going to be talking about kicking it off, getting a first meeting. And I think that this process, this CART process, really dovetails nicely with the work of trial court business process reengineering. I mean, I think we want courts to be looking at the list and making sure they're doing things, but we also want to provide training, analytical tools, methods and approaches and ways to go about the analysis that's required to re-engineer processes in the courts. And so we're going to try to get this TCBPR initiative on a fast track now that the budget is kind of behind us. The dust hasn't settled, but we have to plunge ahead. And I also wanted to just mention that in talking about how we would perhaps help the courts, one of the things that we did was we identified a couple of court executive officers who have retired, who, you know, have had long careers in the courts, who may be available as resources to the courts to help courts that are trying to do major reengineering while they're also dealing with all of the chaos that's been created by the budget process. So all of you remember two former council members, Cheryl Strickland and Tressa Kentner. Both are very, very willing to help courts. They would be paid by the courts to come in and to actually, if you say, I need to reengineer my criminal division, Cheryl or Tressa, and there may be other CEOs that we have not yet identified out there who would also join that effort and be willing to be sort of in-house consultants that wouldn't need to learn, be on the steep learning curve to figure out how trial courts work. They already know it. It would just be learning your local culture and also being able to work with management teams to do some of that reengineering work. So those resources are, we're beating the bushes to make them available and to find others who would be willing to be engaged in that. And then finally, I just want to once again thank Maureen and Pam. Amazing, amazing work. I don't know how they were herding cats. We were all over the map, and somehow they got it all distilled down to a really looks like it was rational. 74 recommendations. I really cannot thank them enough for their unbelievable diligence in supporting this group.
Thank you, Kim, Alan, and David. The regional office staff will continue to work with the working group that Kim just mentioned, the PJ Court Exec Working Group for BPR. And the staff have already started to pull together a statewide repository, if you will, not just with the San Joaquin recommendations, but we've been engaged in assisting about 10 to 11 other courts over the last couple of years to re-engineer. And so we'll pull all of that information together and gather that repository and make it very, very accessible to everyone in the branch to do exactly what Kim, David, and Alan just talked about. So with that, I do want to give Judge Warner and Rosa an opportunity to share with you their perspective on this process and future plans for how you will be moving forward with these recommendations.
Thank you, Jody. Good morning, Chief Justice and members of the Judicial Council. You know, this morning sitting here and listening to all the discussions, there's resonating these four concepts. Efficiencies, roadmap, template, and return on investment. And I'm, as I'm listening to all of this, I'm thinking, my gosh, that's everything that I have to say this morning. So bear with me. So I, too, would also like to thank the CART members, the court execs, David, Kim, Alan, Kitty, and Mike. Thank you so much for all of your assistance. Also for your subject matter experts coming to our courts, taking their precious time, because I know we all have very little of it these days, and sharing your views on how operations work in your courts and sharing those with us. I'd also like to thank Jody and the all of the AOC staff, Zlatko, John Judnick, Maureen and Pam. Thank you, Pam and Maureen. I've been making many phone calls over the last several weeks. So, again, thank you all for your time as well. As previously stated, you know, this process and more particularly the CART recommendations, I believe should be used by all courts as a template or roadmap to see if we are all operating as efficiently as we possibly can. Furthermore, some of the recommendations can be used as a guide to ensure that we are all imposing the fees that are authorized by statutes. No organization is perfect, and we can all make room for improvement. All courts have evolved over time based on the financial resources that they have. In our court, all of our managers and supervisors are working managers and supervisors. Specifically, they do what is necessary to get the job done. If that means they have to open the mail because they need other support staff resources to serve customers at the public counters or to work at their desks preparing cases for court, they will do so. Unfortunately, we have not had the luxury of time to sit back and evaluate the way that we do business to see if there are ways that we can be more efficient. We are in the trenches, every one of us. Today, we have 251 staff, does not include 16 grant staff positions, to process our current workload, which includes complex criminal felony cases. The types of felonies filed in our court today are not your run-of-the-mill felonies. We have homicides, death penalty, multiple defendant gang-related homicides, and special circumstance enhancements, just to name a few. In fact, just yesterday, there was an article in our local newspaper announcing that Stockton has the second highest violent crime rate per capita in the state. No applause, please. On October 1st of 2011, we laid off 45 staff and closed our Tracy Branch Court and one of our two courtrooms in our Lodi Branch Court. When CART arrived in February, it had only been 4 months since our court had to implement these significant changes. We were still in the process of training staff that had been reassigned from other court locations who were now working in Stockton and supporting case types that they'd never worked before. As many of you know, to fully train and cross-train staff can take as long as 6 months to a year. I mentioned this, we are still in a state of transition. And I mention this because although we have lost 98 positions, or 29% of our staff in the last 3 years, all of our staff who remain are the hardest working and most eager staff we've ever had. In fact, all of the timelines for completion of each of the recommendations were self-imposed. Yes, there were suggestions made by CART. However, it was our staff that ultimately set their own timelines. Some, I must admit now, I believe are pretty aggressive and optimistic. Some of the recommendations will cost money to implement, and some will not. Some recommendations were easily identifiable in terms of the cost implications and or savings. Others were not so easy. Additional analysis will be required to fully understand any associated costs and or savings to the court. Decisions to implement certain recommendations will ultimately be made taking into consideration our return on investment. We realize sometimes you have to spend money to make money. In our case, this has certainly been and will continue to be a challenge. Nonetheless, we have an action plan, and to date we can report the following. 20 recommendations, or 27 are completed, 27% are completed. 31 recommendations, or 42%, are scheduled for completion within the next 6 months. 18 recommendations, or 24%, are scheduled for completion within the next year. And 3 recommendations, or 4%, are scheduled for completion 1 year or longer. It is no secret that our court was and is perhaps still the most underfunded court in our judicial branch. Yet, In the last 14 years, since the beginning of trial court funding, we have managed to run this court on a shoestring budget. However, the questions that are never asked of us are questions such as, how do you do it? How have you been able to manage your court with such little funding? We have always done more with less. We have managed to get the job done. We have managed our operations and until last October provided access to justice to all citizens in San Joaquin County. This court recognizes we have a lot of work ahead of us. Yet, given our limited funding, we remain committed to providing the best service we possibly can in San Joaquin County. Thank you, and I know Judge Warner has a few remarks as well.
Thank you. I just want to take a moment and thank, from a presiding judge's perspective, thank our staff that spent a lot of time on doing this process, and also thank all the staff that showed up, because there were a lot of people. And each person that came seemed to have a good expertise in a particular field. And so it wasn't a person giving you their perspective, perhaps strong in one area and weak in another. We got the best of all worlds, so to speak, through that process. I appreciate all the recommendations that have been made. There are some, as was alluded to, that we did not agree with. But what I got out of the process was that you do need to stop and take time occasionally and look and see how things are working. And my comment in that regard, as goofy as it may sound, is that it's hard to be analyzing your swimming stroke when you see the alligator gaining on behind you. You know, it's hard to worry about some of those things. What this process caused us to do was say, you know what, your work's going to need to stop for today, and you need to spend time explaining to somebody what you do, why you do it, how it works, and then listen to them on what they see or do that might be a little different and see how it can be done. I think that we all, and I'm one of the worst at this, when times get tight, and especially when money gets tight, I have a tendency to fall back and do it the old way. That's how I did it. That's how I've been done. It's kind of like if it worked for my dad, it works for me. And there's that approach that you take when things get tough. This process was kind of a forceful way to say, no, we're going to stop, step back, look, and see how that goes. And I think it was a very useful process, and I think it will actually be useful to other courts, even though it may not be directed specifically to their court, to look at it and say, okay, here's an example. Does this work for us? I found it somewhat amusing that just prior to CART arriving, I was speaking to several clerks one day about a particular issue, and as we were working our way through that issue, almost incidentally, they mentioned some other process that was going on. And I said, you know, wait a minute, we're going to need to come back to this issue later. What are you doing over here? And as they started to explain what was going on, I said, you know, we cannot do that. This is a new day, a new age. That needs to stop. It was only incidentally that I heard that. Because I don't think day in and day out we do sit and go through top to bottom how our operation works. Ironically, when the CART report came, that was in there, and it made me laugh because I thought, had I not had that conversation, the CART report would have pointed it out and brought it to our attention. But I think more often than not, rather than having that list, we do accidentally find out about things and then try to fix them or change them as we think is appropriate. But in any event, this caused us to stop and do that all at one time, and I think there's value to doing that. I do want to mention briefly the IT issue, and I sympathize with San Luis Obispo. And I want to do that because almost 25% of the recommendations are IT-related, and we have a huge IT problem. I have no issue with the recommendations that were made. In fact, we are wholeheartedly in support of those recommendations. But specifically with three items, you know, we've worked our way into that hole, and in some fashion, we've actually worked our way there for certain reasons. We need an IT manager. Our IT manager passed away suddenly a little over a year ago. We made a decision. We started through the process to replace that person. Got through, the budget was not going well, was getting worse. We were told the next year was going to be worse, and we said, you know what, let's wait. maybe we can coast for a while and slide underneath the IT system and we'll get through. Well, I think you can second-guess that decision. I second-guess that decision, but you're on the fly and working with the budget and doing the best you can. We've decided that that's not realistic, and the CART process agreed with that. And so we now have a new IT manager who will start just in a few weeks. But it was budget that drove that decision, and that's happened in several other areas. With our IT equipment, part of the recommendation is you need to replace some of that equipment. You think? The stuff is old, and our standard response to IT is this. Does that piece of equipment still work? If they say yes, my next question is it smoking or burning? Because if it's not, you're going to keep using it. You should have seen the look on our new IT manager's face when he looked at our equipment. And not only the equipment, the room it's in, which is not adequately ventilated, and the sprinkler, which is right overhead. He had a fit. In fact, we asked the question, are you still on board here?
It's still going to work for us.
But that's the problem we faced, and the driving force behind that has been a lack of money, because that's an easy place, in my view, to divert money from and keep other things running because that piece of equipment still works. But at some point, it catches up with you. And CART has pointed out that it is catching up with you, and we're trying to take some steps to address that. The final IT area I want to address is our criminal case management system. We have CJIS, as does Marin and a few other courts. We are beholden to the county for CJIS. They run it, they fix it, they keep it going, and when they bill us for it, I certainly question exactly what we're paying for. That little item is over $1 million of our budget. And when you got a budget like ours, it's $1 million you cannot afford. But here's your options. You're going to have a criminal case management system or not. We don't have enough IT staff. We don't have enough money to get somewhere else. We saw V4 out there in the future until March and thought, okay, there's our answer. Just keep it going, and maybe not in March, but shortly thereafter we'll have V4 and CJIS problem off the board. That didn't work out. Fortunately, one of the CART members has CJIS as well, so we're kind of riding on Marin's coattails. They're doing a thing called lift and shift. I don't know how many people may know about that, but we're hoping that they're successful and successful quickly so that we can then get in behind them, or we're going to be having a lot more discussions with San Luis Obispo about what they're doing and to see, as the statement was made, what they do that we can do so we don't have to reinvent the wheel, because we don't have the staff to reinvent the wheel, nor do we have the money. But that's an IT area that has been, that is just in bad shape, and in a manner of speaking, it's gotten there with our actions, because we were moving money to try to keep the system going. And I suspect that that situation we've gotten ourselves into, many people, if they're not there, are going to get there soon. When you start diverting money to keep things going, unless what you diverted it from really wasn't important, sooner or later it's going to catch up with you. Last item relative to the recommendations I want to mention are that when we do purchasing, we have a kind of a twofold approach to that. If something needs to be purchased, our first question is it absolutely necessary? Do you have to have that? And if the answer is yes, then okay, what are our options to make it cheaper? Could it be generic? Could we buy it used? Could we lease it? Could we barter for it? We see it over there. Maybe they'll take some of our pencils and we'll move it over. I mean, we do everything we can to keep that as inexpensive as it can be. But again, you can only play that game for so long, and then it starts to catch up with you. And as I think Alan said, this idea that we're going to see that turnaround and the money will come back in and fill those holes in, I don't think is on the horizon. So we just continue to deal with that. As always, we will do what I think most courts do, and that is we will try to be as efficient as we can. I think in the future we're going to spend at least some more opportunities of stepping back from business and saying, are we still doing it right? could we do it better? Because as I said at the outset, I find my nature to be when things get stressful, when you're short of money, you kind of fall back to your old habits. And I'm concerned that that could happen. I think the CART report is a way to see that that doesn't happen, to go back through it again occasionally and say, are we still doing this? Or are we back to the old way? And I think as Judge Wesley said to me earlier, sometimes new people come in and you don't realize that they don't have all that information. You think they do, but they don't. So we want to make sure we have processes in place to make sure that the new ideas keep moving forward and don't get lost along the way. We'll do as good as we can with whatever we get, because no matter how bad it is, that's the only option you've got. At the end of the day, the San Joaquin County residents deserve an appropriate justice system, and we'll work as hard as we can to do that, in spite of what the state's doing to us in the process. Our goal is to provide them with an adequate justice system. And we appreciate, really do appreciate, all the time that CART spent, hopefully making that a little bit better, a little bit more efficient, because to the extent you're more efficient, frees up money to put somewhere else. So we do appreciate all the time and effort that they spent.
Thank you. Justice Hull?
Thank you, Chief. Just a few thoughts. We're getting close to our ending time here. When I read the report, I was very, very impressed with the approach and the effort of the CART team and the CART team members and the approach and the cooperation and the warm reception by San Joaquin County. It's really a very satisfying thing to watch. We seem at these meetings, in a general sense, to be constantly faced with difficult news and asked to make difficult decisions, and that's not going to end. But I think this effort shows the vast potential that the branch has for cooperation and coordination and moving the branch forward in a unified way that does not unduly impinge upon local courts serving their communities appropriately. And if you'll indulge a personal matter, I got back to the hotel last night and was thinking about the meetings on Wednesday and Thursday and feeling really quite satisfied myself about the way the council had approached the difficult decisions relating to the SEC, to the budget, and all of the other matters, and reflecting upon just how impressive it is that there are so many people that work so hard on so many different projects that that I am just very pleased to be a member of that effort. And we all look at these things through our own personal experiences. And for those of you who know me personally, you may know years ago I achieved my private pilot certificate. I used to fly quite a bit. And for those of you who are familiar with it, on the instrument panel of the airplane, there's a climb and descent indicator, which tells you whether or not you're climbing or descending. It's not a difficult concept, but sometimes when the nose of the airplane is up, that doesn't mean you're climbing. To the contrary. But so you're always taught early on that you need to look for a positive rate of climb. And I think for the first time in these series of meetings in the last two or three days, I personally am sensing a positive rate of climb. And this is just another indication of that, and I appreciate everybody's hard work. Thank you.
Thank you, Justice Hall.
I would like to point out we do have a letter that we'd like to – it kind of summarizes what we said, but since it's not in the packet, we'd like to hand that out too.
Thank you. Thank you, Judge, Presiding Judge Warner.
Chief.
Yes, Fritz.
The management guru, Stephen Covey, you know, urges organizations in difficult times and managers to use those periods as opportunities rather than wallowing in all of the easy kinds of things that, and woe to me and all of that kind of thing. This is certainly an opportunity, and while it's cliche-ish, I think, to talk about doing more with less, it really provides all of us with an opportunity to look at what, as Alan indicated, to look at what we're doing. And it provides us an opportunity to make changes that could never politically or organizationally be made under any other circumstances. And so that's, you know, there are strides that can be made. And I think, Judge, as you indicated, the citizens of San Joaquin will be far more pleased to know that you're doing things with less, because they're all feeling the same kinds of pressures we are, than hearing, well, we have to have more money, we have to have that. That will come. And if we can garner the citizen support for the branch, because we are trying to make things better under the circumstances, I think we'll all be well served. And finally, the thing, Rosa, that we did in the old L.A. Municipal Court, one of our managers came up with the idea of having supervisors and everybody catching people doing things right and celebrating successes. And so when you see a clerk do something right and do something that doesn't have to be extraordinary, but that's when they need a pat on the back, and that behavior needs to be recognized so that you build and encourage it. And I think we as a council need to build and encourage exactly what's going on here. Thank you.
Thank you. Well said, Fritz. Thank you. We appreciated the presentation. I think we all take away, all of us at all levels of the courts, of always ways to improve. Thank you very much. We conclude today's meeting, as we often do, sadly, with a remembrance of our judicial colleagues recently deceased. And so I first want to start off with Justice Margaret Morris. She was the first woman to serve as an associate justice and later presiding justice of the Court of Appeal, 4th Appellate District. Justice Morris began her career in 1963 when Governor Pat Brown appointed her to the San Bernardino Municipal Court. She was 89 when she passed. Other judges we wish to remember are the Honorable Earl Cantos, Superior Court of San Diego County, the Honorable Ragar Engerbretson, Superior Court of Orange County, the Honorable Kenneth Hake, Superior Court of Sacramento County, the Honorable Clarence Knight, Superior Court of San Mateo County, and the Honorable Edgar Taylor, Superior Court of Santa Clara County. All were retired from the bench, and we honor them for their service to the courts and to the cause of justice. Thank you all for the last 3 days and your endeavoring efforts to the cause of justice. Our next Judicial Council meeting will be regularly scheduled, July 27. Safe travels. Thank you.